You're listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Well, hello, Leslie.
How are you?
I am well. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Leslie, for those that haven't come across you online, tell our listeners who you are and what are we doing talking today?
Absolutely. Well, I'm Dr. Leslie Hodge. I am a pharmacist and have been for 15 years. But most recently, I have branched off into personal styling and image consulting. And so if you haven't come across me, you may find me under Dr. Leslie Hodge. But in the styling industry, I use El Renee, which is a playoff of the first letter of my name. But I do spell it E-L-L-E and then Renee. So that's the name I use in the fashion world, as they say.
Leslie, I see that the connection we have is that we both are Boilermakers from Purdue.
Yes.
I don't know if there's a correlation now that my name's out there a little bit more and being from Purdue. All of a sudden, it's like the university closed down.
No correlation, Mike. Isn't that something, how we are on this just pause and be still for a moment? And then, what do we do with all this time? That whole process of that is interesting.
So we're recording this right now in late April. So we've been through this for a good month or so, right? Or
exactly.
6 weeks even or something like that?
About 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. How's your life changed during this?
You know what? I have been continuing to work. So as people like to label us, the frontline workers.
Yeah.
I've had to really adjust to the adjustments because there are adjustments initially when we first started the shutdown and the stay-at-home orders. The changes were daily, right? So you literally walked into work and said, well, what are the rules today? I know that may sound kind of, a cliche, but it really was. What are the rules today? What are the expectations today? What can we do? What can't we do? What should we be doing? And then just also being that calm, right? Because you're trying to learn and trying to stay abreast of everything. But then when you're dealing with patients and customers, you need to be that also that face of calm and help really guide them through this situation because it was new for everyone. No one has lived through this before to this degree, let me say that. And no one really knew what to do and how to navigate through that situation. So it's been a pretty, I would say, demanding emotionally and mentally. If you think about it, the physical hasn't really caught up to me yet. But when you're going nonstop, we tend not to recognize the physical changes more so than the mental changes. So that's been my life for the last 5-6 weeks, as you say. And then just kind of creating that balance though too, right? So you can't just consume everything.
Right.
And because you will go a little bit, lose it a little bit, but you still want to stay informed and stay abreast. So it's just been a balance with that.
So your day-to-day is retail?
Yes, day-to-day is retail. And so I was part of that. You know, we hear about the stories, we see the stories on TV about the toilet paper and the hand sanitizer and the gloves and the mask selling out. And just still going back to navigating through that and helping people understand like why things aren't in stock and the difference between, stocking up your home and stockpiling, right? So there's a difference in just hoarding and people really just consuming what they could because they could. And so it was interesting. And, it's calmed down a little bit, I can say, as far as on my end.
Yeah.
But initially it was a little... like, come on, people, let's stop for a minute. Let's pause.
Yeah.
We'll get through this and think about the other person, right? Think about the person next to you.
Take me through your graduation and your decision to be in community versus all the other options, because I'm community pharmacist. Mm-hmm. I've been forever.
That's a great question. And it's so funny because... when you ask most pharmacists, why they became pharmacists, a lot of times you hear, because we love people.
Right.
We love people. And for me, the community pharmacy sector allowed me to have that direct one-on-one interaction and contact with people.
Yeah.
And I just love the idea of each day being different, and not saying it's not like that in any other sector, but in community pharmacy, you knew each day was going to be different. You knew each interaction would be different. And I felt like having those type of experiences would help me not only develop as a person professionally, but also personally. So it was just a domino effect, right? Because when you're helping someone, I think that's truly the biggest gift. It's not receiving, it's giving. So when you're helping someone get that understanding, get that peace of mind, it's a win-win for you as the provider as well as the patient. And so I've just enjoyed that from day one. I still do. From, I will say, maybe 2015, that desire became a little bit more intensified, where I really wanted people to have that one-on-one experience and that personal experience. And so I started my own consulting company called Scripps and Beyond. And that the whole focus of that, which the tagline is "A pharmacist focused on you," was to have those situations where people needed those extra minutes, those extra times with the pharmacist to speak to them about medications, interactions, food interactions, condition and drug interactions, and just really get those questions answered that they couldn't get answered when they do come to the pharmacy window, right? Because most of the
Right.
time people are in a rush, they have their ice cream in their cart, they're just ready to go. And we know as pharmacists, we're the last stop before they get home with their medication and begin to ingest that medication. So I understood early on that there's a little bit more time that's needed. We're just not able to give it in those settings. And so creating a solution to that was what led me to launch in 2015 Scripps and Beyond.
You know, that's really interesting when you bring up the idea of customers not having time, because we always hear about the other side in pharmacy, about pharmacists don't have enough time and that. And I haven't given that much thought until you just said it right now about customers. They're maybe not in the best learning mode when they're standing there with their ice cream melting or whatever, having to go to the next stop. You know, they don't usually come to the pharmacy with nothing else on their agenda for the day.
Absolutely.
That's a really interesting way to put that. Let me play devil's advocate. How do you, as a pharmacist, get away from a long talker? Do you nod and slowly back up like I do?
Oh boy. Oh yes. I am a nodder, a backer upper. I am a keep the lid on the can of worms. It's so funny you ask that because my staff kind of makes fun of me with that. They say, "Oh, you tried to get out of that one, didn't you?" And it's funny because we have to keep things, fun and engaging too for our staff.
Right.
But I've come to recognize, not always, who is going to be a time consumer for me, right? Whether it's the conversation that
Right.
has nothing to do with their medication, right? Absolutely not.
Yeah, right.
Or if they want to have a conversation that they probably should be having with not just their physician, but a specialist, right? Because we've talked about this for months or
Yeah.
years, and you still want me to tell you what to do, and I've already told you or recommended that you go and see,
Right.
this person, that or the other. And so, yes, I absolutely am a nodder.
Yeah.
And then I like that. I'm absolutely a, what's the word I want to use? It's kind of like, those trigger words, because you can ask a question. So you can ask a question and
Yeah,
know
sure.
that is just going to lead down the road. And so I will just try to
Yes.
restrain myself and say, okay, even though I may want to know, Mike, even though I may want to know, I'm like, today's not the
Yeah.
day. Because again, it's so much to do,
No,
right?
I
It's
know
so
it.
much to do, and we say that, but there
Yeah.
are times where there really is so much to do, or that person who's been waiting is looking at you and they are like, I know you are not about to keep talking
Right.
to that person. I dare you to smile. I dare you to chuckle. And before all this COVID stuff, I'm a hugger. And so I had to learn to pull back on the hugs because then the hugs lead out. And so it's just that whole, you know, we're multifunctional, you know, professionals anyway. So I have to kind of gauge the atmosphere and the environment and who's going to be receptive to this today. And
that's right. Hopefully people will pick up on
that. Yeah. And you hope so. But, you know, there's always that one or two that's like, they didn't get it. They didn't get that you were trying to leave, or they didn't get that today wasn't the day. Yeah.
Usually on the phone, I've come across these patients where they'll call and they'll say they have a question. Mm-hmm. And then what I try to do is, it's usually when I'm in a hurry mm-hmm. for something, but I'll say, okay, Mrs. Smith, tell me what your question is, because this is rather interesting what you're telling me about, but I want to make sure that through this information that I don't miss your question. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, okay, well, then they'll start telling the story again. And then you say, all right, Mrs. Smith, but let me ask you again, what is the actual mm-hmm. question? And then they'll go on again. So then I get to the point where I say, Mrs. Smith, the next word I want to hear from you is what or why or when mm-hmm. or how or where. And then, because I said that means that there's a question coming after coming. That. And then they'll say again, well, then I went to the such and such. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, but that's not one of those. Well, it's not one of the W words I wanted to hear.
Let's start the question.
Just restricted to mm-hmm. you consulting. Would you feel a need to do any retail anymore?
Would I still want to do retail, provided that the consulting was a sustainable? This is what was my plan originally. The idea is to, yes, do consulting full time. That's what I do. But I always entertain the option of having access to retail. And I tell you why. Because retail keeps you abreast of the changes quickly. It keeps you abreast of what patients are dealing with day to day. And because it has been such a resource in how I develop my services and develop my resources, it's almost like it's that conference that we go to every year that you're like, I can't miss, I have to do it. I would want to still do retail on the as needed basis, something a little structured, but at least I knew I still had access.
How many hours do you think it would take to still feel that you had that connection?
I would say at least 8 and no more than 24. So that's saying a day a week just to be submerged in it, not totally drown in it, right? So it's, you're getting a taste, but not, oh my goodness, I still have to go back and do this. I don't have time to do this, but it still would keep me afloat.
So the consulting's doing great. And then you've got a team of this and you're doing this. You would still, almost regardless, you would still say, I'm going to spend a day in retail.
I would do 16 hours a month. Now you decide what that looks like. Is that 4 hours to cover someone who needs to go get their kids, 4 hours on a week? I would do 16 hours a month of retail.
That feels about right to me, about a day every other week. Leslie, on your consulting service, you use Calendly.
I do.
So for our listeners then, what Leslie mm-hmm. and I are talking about is, and there's other ones out there, but we both happen to use one called Calendly. Mm-hmm. It compares your schedule on a number of different programs, but in this case, we're both talking Google, right, Leslie?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It looks at your Google Calendar and it says, okay, I'm not going to make any of these times available that Google is already saying I'm busy. Mm-hmm. And then people can come in either on their handheld or whatever, and they pick a time and they can answer a question or two or something. Calendly then throws an appointment onto Leslie's Google Calendar. So all of a sudden you're there and something pops up for 4 days later. What's your next step then in either of these cases?
Yes. Yeah, so the next step is to send a welcome or congratulatory, depending on the situation, message to the person who just book the consultation.
That's auto from Calendly?
I actually do it now because I, depending on, So let me tell you a little bit about that. Depending on what they tell me they want to book the consultation for, because I
Gotcha.
always ask why, you know,
Yeah.
what's your purpose of seeking out these services?
Oh, I see. And it's not just like a multiple choice. They're writing stuff out, so you're really getting some
Yes. So
feedback.
I'm getting a little bit of background.
Yeah.
So I will send a message. It's nothing too broad, but just to one, welcome them, congratulate them on taking that first step.
Right.
And I try to include something from what they indicated on their booking
Right.
page, just to let them know, like, I read it. So I see where this would be a good fit. I see where we can talk. So I can begin thinking this through. How is this consultation going to go?
Right.
And so that message goes to them. In the event of the personal styling, also in that message is a link to a questionnaire that gets very specific as far as what are they hoping will be the end result of this styling consultation. How would they describe their style now, excuse me. What's their favorite colors? What colors do they prefer? What styles do they prefer to wear? What are they hoping people will begin to see them as? What do they see themselves as now? So it really gets them to thinking, like, why am I going to take this time to invest in myself when it comes to my outer appearance and my image and my style? So I have questions. It's about maybe 10 or 12 questions. So it's not too lengthy, but it does give me a good foundation. So when we do talk and we do have that complimentary consultation, we're not collecting basic information, right? We're getting
Gotcha.
down to it. This is what you told me. This is what you're hoping this will do. Let's talk about that and why.
Forget what the product is. Forget
Okay.
that we're talking stylist or pharmacy. How do you decide is the right amount to ask right away to inch them along?
It's really been trial and error. The right amount of information, really, it comes from what their initial drive is, right? So that's the thing I've found this, and you may agree with this too. There's a difference between selling a product and a service. And what I have found is the service industry is you have to approach it like an investment, right? So it's 9 times out of 10, it's not anything really tangible. You can't go in and say, hey, I want that cup and I'm going to spend $10 because I know I want that cup because I
Yeah.
need that cup for my coffee. And that's it, right? They're good. But when you have a service, you are helping the person come to understand, not so much help, you're helping them, but you're helping them understand where there is a need and how you can fill that gap for them. Because they may not realize that they need your services, right? They know they need a cup because they have to drink coffee. I'm just saying this. They have to drink coffee all day at work. So
Right.
they know they need a cup that's going to keep it hot or cold, however they prefer. They know they need that. But when you're selling a service, you're selling a process. You're not selling the end result right away. Yes, the end result is you will have great clothes. You will have a wardrobe that you love. Absolutely. But what's the process of getting there? Because even if you have on great clothes and you don't know how to piece them together, or they don't make you feel a certain way so that when you do put those clothes on, that you're showing up as your best self and you're showing up as your confident self. It's about understanding that. Same with medications, right? So yes, the end result is you can have this great, convenient, easy to
Gotcha.
use medication regimen, medication plan. Great. But if you don't understand the process as to why this medication regimen is important and important that you follow it so
Right.
that way we don't end up in the emergency room and we don't end up with another cardiovascular event, then we don't see the value. So it's different. It's totally different than that physical product.
With the medicine, you can take them down like the road, and people don't personalize that. Like, okay, I'll be in the emergency room, but you can't say in your like print or online, you can't say, Do you want people to stop laughing at you?
You can.
Do you want people?
You can. Huh? You can. You can. I disagree with that. You sure can. Do you want?
You can?
Absolutely. Do you want people to stop laughing at you? Do you want to stop being overlooked for that high level position? Do you want to be considered? Do you want to be invited to the table? Do you want to be invited into the boardroom?
Someone laughing at me is different than not being invited.
Why do you think you weren't invited?
I mean, all this time I tried to say, well, they only had so many people they could invite. I'm a laughing stock. That's not in the same category as not being invited.
All right. It's up there, though. It's very close. Let me just tell you.
We all know it's really there. We're just not saying it.
We're not saying it, right? We have to convince ourselves that's not the case. But again, it really is that there's a connection.
You say that about as much as you can without saying you're being laughed at or
you're being looked over. You're being looked over. Yeah. So there is a connection between how you feel and how you show up. And that is something I always try to instill in my clients. How you feel, how you look, and how you show up will determine how productive you are. If you think about it, Mike, when you think about your best dressed days, right? You know that's those times when you have walked outside of your house and said, yeah, this is a good day. Even if you're not fashion conscious, right? You feel a certain type of way. You really do.
I put on whatever the top layer of the laundry basket. I'm just wearing what's on top. And I always wonder, why am I wearing the same things over and over? Because they're always on top.
Easy access, right?
I'm happy when I walk out with clothes on.
Okay. And the neighbors are too, right? Yeah. The reality is, some people understand the correlation between their, you know, how they feel and how they dress and how they show up. So those are the people that are my ideal clients, right? Those are the people who are ready to, hey, I want to show the world what I am feeling on the inside, that I'm bold, I'm powerful, that I am ready for the next level. I'm ready to branch off into this, into that. I want what how I show up on the outside to reflect that.
Crap, I didn't know there was a correlation.
Here you go. There is a correlation.
All right, wait a minute. All right, hold on a second. Let's back up.
Okay.
You graduated in 2004 from Purdue.
Yes.
10 years later, you start your consulting business, 2015. Bring me through business-wise the shift then from consulting with pharmacy to consulting with style. Okay. Was that a inner need? Was it like, I don't like where the pharmacy thing is going, or I'm bored? I mean, where was the shift and where is the shift? Mm-hmm. You know, assuming that we're always creating.
Right.
Take me through that shift of the pathway of how things went with the pharmacy consulting and then why the shift into the clothing. And I can tell that you're very passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And so it's no wonder to me why you're doing it, but take the listeners through that.
Sure. So I've always been into fashion, style. We'll use those terms interchangeably. I've always been into image, right? I've always understood that how you show up is how people will treat you, how people will interact with you. I've always had that correlation. I've always had that in mind. And so even with working in a retail setting, and yes, the white coat is, you know, our uniform, we understand that. But I've always been that person who went the extra step. I've always been into dressing up. I used to wear high heels to work. So I would come through the front door, I would have on high heels, and I would wear them to work. I'll leave that there and I'll come back to that in a second. So one year, it was a team effort to get all the management team to paint the employee lounge, right? So they wanted all the management to paint this lounge. They wanted it to kind of be a service to the hourly associates. Well, I found it interesting that no one asked me. Okay, so we talk about the left out, and I'm a management. Why wouldn't they ask me?
Right.
So, Fast forward, one of the managers came and said, "Hey, did you check out the lounge? It's complete." I said, "Yeah, why didn't you guys ask me?" He
Right.
said, "We weren't going to ask you, so you can come back there and paint in your high heels." So I laughed and I'm like, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah, we see you every morning coming in here. We're not gonna ask you to come paint that. You wouldn't have done that." But what he didn't know as he looked over the window is I had a pair of Rockports that I kept in the pharmacy. And I would change into my Rockports to work the day, but I would come in and leave out in my heels because that was my attire. So, people usually didn't look over the counter back then,
Right.
So he all this time. And the managers were all male. They were always like, they were like, "You wear high heels. We weren't going to ask you to come and paint."
Right.
And so again, I say that as this is kind of like a image protector, right? So good. If that means I don't have to do the dirty work, absolutely. Keep thinking I wear high heels all day. That works for me. That works for me. But I've always been into style. I've always been into it. And I've done it for, friends, family, colleagues. And I just really wanted to do it. It was kind of pushed. I got a mentor and a coach here recently, and she was like, "What's one thing you would do if you wasn't pharmacy? What's one thing you would do?" And I said, "Hands."
Why did you get the mentor or the coach?
I
That was
think,
after you had already started your
yeah,
consulting,
yes,
your pharmacy.
actually, I've been working with her now for about, oh my goodness, almost 9 months. I got one because I knew there was more. Now, this is going to sound very, broad, but I knew there was more that I was supposed to do that wasn't necessarily pharmacy. I just knew I had a passion, and I'm a big reader, and I love listening to different podcasts. And one of Bishop T.D. Jakes' books, he talks about whatever keeps you up at night. Whatever keeps you up, whatever keeps you turning the page, there's a reason for that. And I'm telling you, I will turn the page. I will stay up all night looking at different things that are associated with fashion and style. And I am drawn to it. And even when no one else is paying attention, they're like, "What are you looking?" I'm like, "Did you see her coat?" They're like, "The coat, what? We're watching a movie." But I'm looking at how the actresses are dressed, how the actors are dressed, what shoes they paired with it. I'm looking at that. And yes, I'm paying attention to the show or the movie, but I'm also looking at the wardrobe. When the question came to me during one of our coaching sessions, "What's one thing you would do, one thing outside of pharmacy, that you would love to do?" I said, "Be a fashion stylist. I love to get people ready. I love to get people that wow moment." And it's still like pharmacy to me. It's that aha moment, like, "Oh my
Right.
goodness, I look amazing." That aha moment going back to pharmacy when people understand what happens when you don't take medications correctly and they're aren't compliant, and you don't follow up with your lab results, and you don't follow up with those other doctor's appointments, those aha moments when they get it that they're also part of their health and wellness journey. That aha moment, I live for that. I love that. I love being a part of that. And so even with styling, I love when people come in thinking one way, "Oh, I'm just gonna put this on." I'm like, "Well, no, you can jazz it up. Here, put this. Pop, pull your collar up here, maybe put this underneath, add this bracelet, totally different look." It's like, oh, like the angels singing. That's just what I'm drawn to.
I know the value of like one outside coach or one outside comment. But then after it's done, everybody wants to be a Monday morning quarterback and say, well, it's easy for me just to say, well, why don't you just do that? I didn't need someone to tell you, but you did probably. If you didn't get that coach, so explain the power of that coach. Why were they able to turn that on for you to now become El Renee versus what you were doing? What did it take?
The accountability and the help of getting out of my own way, right? Because just like you said, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I can go start that. I know the process.
Yeah.
But we can just stay with our thoughts and stay with
Right.
the what ifs as
Right.
long as we allow ourselves to, right? But when someone comes along and says, well, if this is what you desire, why haven't you done it? If this is what you've been thinking, why haven't you taken the first step? It has really been just that accountability piece. And I thought this years ago, and it's so funny, it just came on last night, you know, being from Gary, Chicago Bulls fan, The Last Dance aired last night with Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. And I've always thought, to me, the greatest of all time, if he had a coach, right? And then we start thinking about the greatest athletes. They have coaches too. They know what to do. They know how to get out there and shoot the ball, throw the ball, hit the tennis racket, hit the tennis ball with the tennis racket. They know that, but they still need someone to push them through, to get them out of their own way, to get them out of their comfort zone, to get them out of thinking, from thinking to doing. And that's what a coach and a mentor did for me. She moved me from thinking about it to actually doing it and putting the steps in motion and getting the process going. Because I will tell you, we're doing this now. This is April. You couldn't have told me this last April that I would be telling you that I have a personal stylist and image consulting company, and that I have clients, and that I'm, you know, after we're done here, I have a client. Like, you couldn't have told me that. It would have been in my head. Like, ideally, I would have liked to say that, but to actually be able to say it and to actually be able to say that I'm doing it is so fulfilling. And it's just another part of the brain working, another passion being fulfilled.
Before your coach, mm-hmm. had you known that this was a possibility? I mean, I imagine different things could have gone through your head. Well, I'll open up a clothing store, mm-hmm. or I'll write a book on mm-hmm. this, or I'll do this. Was the consulting part something you visualized, not saw yourself doing, but at least you knew of that before your coach?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say I saw it, but vague, right? I think I saw it as, oh, that'd be nice to, I could do that. But as far as putting in the work and putting in the, you know, just getting started, I don't know when that would have happened, right? I think I would have just been content with operating on my own terms. Hey, I'll do a friend here or there. Oh, someone's, you know, having a baby shower or an event, okay, I don't mind doing it. But to do it to the point of, yes, you need to book a consultation, let's have this discussion, you know, then there's the payment, then these are the services being rendered, never to that degree. And even now, Mike, I'm thinking even broader. Like, okay, if you can do that, that's just one aspect. What about if you tapped into this? What if you began your own accessory line, right? Because if you're styling people, they need accessories. Why not have your own El Renee accessories, whether it's belts, bracelets, whatever the case may be, I'm still thinking. So it's a...
Yeah, this is a beginning.
It's like a key opening, you know, the lock to your thoughts and really just allowing you to really embrace them and then act upon them, right? Because we think about a lot of stuff all day long, but it was just... something that I didn't think would grow as fast as it has. And then now it's just like limitless. There's so much more to do.
Is it coincidental that your first step or one of the larger steps into the styling came with the same sort of business pattern like we mm-hmm. talked about Calendly, it being a service, someone signing up maybe for a consultation, this and that? Was that by chance, or did you think, I've already done this, I can mold it to that?
Yeah, I think it was a combination. I think I saw what worked, or what has worked, with a personalized service, because they do mirror each other, right? You have this personalized service. You're getting people to an end result, right?
Yeah.
So you create what the end result looks like, but now we need to do the process to get there. So why not do the same steps? Why not still have the consultation? Let's first see if this is really what you want to do. If I can help you, because you may have a totally different idea of what a personal stylist does or image consultant does than what I can do or willing to do. So having that conversation, saying with patients and clients, for the pharmacy consulting business, they may have a different idea of what a personal pharmacist is. And I can share some of those stories for days. I'm like, no, I don't do that. You know, I don't deliver the meds to you. I don't do anything with meds. You know, I deliver information. I deliver, I always say I dispense education. I dispense information. Yeah. I'm not dispensing medication. So it's just having that conversation to make sure we're on the same, have the same understanding. Why not mirror that and then have the process? So yes, I would say how I structured Scripps and Beyond is how I structured Hoosier Stylist and Image Consulting, as far as the process, as far as the onboarding, and then as far as the end result, which is the person being, having that aha moment, like I get it and it's worth it. And now I feel better about myself and I'm able to go out here and, you know, duplicate this over and over.
What were the negatives that stood in your way?
The biggest thing was, and it's really for, I will say both, is getting people to understand the value. So we talk about the pharmacy consulting business. Most people, when you ask them what a pharmacist does, they always think about us in the white coat behind the big counter, right? Can't get access to us, right? So right. Helping people and painting a picture for people to see, no, we can come from behind the counter. And actually, right. I can take off the white coat and we can sit at this table and you are the focus, and helping people understand that and getting them to see that why this is valuable, why this is going to impact not just your life today, but right. can literally change the course of your life. That was the hardest part. And really getting people to differentiate between, well, I can just go talk to the pharmacist at, you know, the local store. You know, I won't say brands or right. anything. I can just go talk to them. Okay, right. That's fine. But what happens when you have that question a week after starting a new med? Do you go back to that pharmacy or do you wait to your doctor's appointment, which is scheduled for 90 days or 180 right. days later? So it's getting them to see that. So I really, to me, that was a negative, but it was a growing. It was a growing season, because I was able to really, really help define what people thought about pharmacists and really right. getting them to see, like, aha, yes, I can use you. I can utilize you. I do right. need to include you on my healthcare team. You know, I always yeah. start off, I shouldn't say always, but most of the presentations I do, I'll ask people what their healthcare team consists of. And oh. very seldom do they include pharmacists. They don't think about that, right? But right. it's so important. I have to, again, communicate the importance and what we bring to the table, because people really don't know. They just think of us as one-dimensional pill bottle label and hand it to them. I'm like, no, the wealth of information that we have.
Style-wise. Mm-hmm. Did you believe that the whole time, or did you have to raise your belief in what value you had?
It has increased as I've said it. I think I knew it, but I didn't know how to put it into practice, and I really didn't realize how valuable.
And ultimately, people have to put a price on it.
Exactly. I didn't. And even now, I'll get comments that say, you need to charge way more than this after we're done, right? After we're done. But you need to charge way more than this. I'm not like, really? And I always ask why. Why do you think that, right? Because, you right. know, most people don't have this limitless income, but they're like, just how I feel now, how, you know, what I now, I know what I'm able to do, what I'm empowered to do, all from working with you. And so it's like, okay. Thank you. You know, take that into consideration. They say other things, but I don't think that I really understood right. the value. I really don't. Right. And each client helps me, raises that each time, right? It just, right. it's like, okay, you know, kind of finding your rhythm too, right? Because again, the question came to me last year, if you could do anything that was not related to pharmacy. And the second part of that question was, and if you could do it for free, what would you do? And I'm like, mm-hmm. styling. Like, because I had not put a value on, I'm like, styling, easily, hands yeah. down. I love pharmacy. So I don't want to, I have to say this, and it's not to, you know, try to sell people. And I love pharmacy. I really do. And I love the impact that I have had, I know I've had in my career thus far. And oftentimes I will do those things for free in the sense of, you know, medication consults with people who I know cannot, you know, afford it or don't even understand the value of it.
Right.
Absolutely. Because I love it. And so that's the same even with styling, right? You know, people have asked, can you help me? Yeah, absolutely. I'm not thinking, okay, I can help you as soon as I, you know, see a paid receipt on my phone. I'm not thinking that way. I'm thinking, how can I help you? And so it's different. And that's why I think it's becoming successful, because I'm not thinking transactions.
So Leslie, we talked about how much would you still be in the pharmacy should you want to be in it. So now I got to ask the same question about L. Renee. Mm-hmm. It gets bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. When do you drop all the pharmacy stuff off?
Mike.
Come on.
I wish I could. I know. Mike, I can't. I'm telling you, pharmacy is non-negotiable for me.
We're going to come through the back door on this then.
Oh, I'm nervous. Leslie.
All right. So where's L. Renee? L. Renee, the brand, in 10 years?
Ooh, that's good. L. Renee, the brand is, wow.
It's some product.
It's definitely some products. It's definitely top of mind when you think of stylists, when you think of influencers, when you think of notoriety. Absolutely.
That's you.
Yes.
And do you actually have a product in 10 years?
Absolutely. Yes.
Is it a purse?
It's a physical product. So I'm leaning toward accessories, because that's my signature. And I think about what changes the whole dynamic of an outfit over attire is accessories.
Yeah. All right. So it's belts.
It's belts. It's clutches. It's jewelry. It's, those things that those add-ons, right? So you have your outfit, but I'm going to come in and do the L. Renee add-ons, and now you're ready. Yes.
All right. But also you're the image of it too, though. Right?
Absolutely.
L. Renee, the product, and then L. Renee, the L. Renee.
Yes.
The image, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So at some point here, when you're known for this, at some point there quickly, Leslie, you lose a ton of stuff because now you're in a high rise in Indy. You're on like the 25th floor, 26th and 7th, but you're 25th. That's where the bigger window offices and so on. But now, no longer are you talking to the little people. You're having meetings with your head of marketing and your head of distribution and your head of international sales and your head of, you know, this and this. And then you're flying off for all this. You're not even talking to your clients anymore, except if it's through scalable things like your TV show and your 3D hologram, this and that, you know, where you're dressing people and all that stuff. So unless you put a damper on this, there's not even time to talk to your fashion people anymore and to see that aha moment face to face. You no longer can see that because you're just on the 25th floor. You can no longer see the aha moment of the pharmacy anymore because you think your style customers are little. Now think about the little people back in the pharmacy. You're huge. But the aha moment that you mentioned that you love, you know it's there. You can see it's there because of the billions that you're counting. But you haven't seen that aha moment now in like 6 years, since like 2024. So now what do? Pharmacy's gone. You're not even working.
Oh, goodness.
Face to face with fashion people and seeing their eyes light up. You're in this big building in Indianapolis on the 25th floor. And then you call me up and you say, Mike, I should have thought more about that, how big I wanted to get. And I should have listened to those questions.
Oof.
Should I hang on to pharmacy or not?
Man.
When do you drop all that? You got to think about these things if you're really going to get huge. When you get huge, you're going to lose the little people. They'll say, Mike wants to do a follow-up podcast. And you'll say, Mike, Yeah, you're the pharmacist, and you'll say, what's a pharmacist?
Oh, my goodness.
You're going to be so far removed?
Mike, okay, so let me just say this. I'm loving this conversation. It's very thought-provoking, and this is why this answers a question you asked earlier. Why did I get a coach? For this very reason, right? Because I have not thought that far, right? I still think, again, I will have the ability to do what I want to do. But I haven't thought about the exponential growth like that. Like, to hear you say that, like, I can't wait to replay this, right? Just to hear the things that you were speaking. And I'm like, yeah. Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. I haven't thought that.
I've always thought about that. It's like, what if someone gave me like millions of dollars and I had a bunch of pharmacies? The reason I say that to you, because I've thought of that myself, just, well, would I want to be only seeing fellow business people instead of customers and that?
Yeah. See, I think connection is at my core. I think when I think about who I am, connecting to people is a big part of me. So, and I don't mean connecting in a superficial way, not just to say we talked and we had a conversation and we had a business transaction. I mean, really connecting with people. So I think that desire, that need is there. And I just, even going back to what you were saying, I'm like, wow, like I hadn't thought about it to that grand, on the, such a grand scale, but like, you sure there's not a way I could still work, you know, pick up a shift to be, you know, with people? Like, there's no way we could work that in? Like, in my head, I'm thinking about that. Like,
and you probably could, but it would cost you.
Yeah.
Let's just say you're at that degree. You'd be paying to do that. Like, you'd be losing. You'd be losing like $1 million every time you traveled somewhere to spend the day doing that. Okay, yeah. Now, here's a trick I was playing on you. Let's scale that back a little bit. But at least you could dump pharmacy. At least you could still get that beautiful interaction from people. So let's say I say, no, let's not do the 25th floor. Let's stop things a little bit before that. Still allow Leslie to see the aha moment. Is the aha moment enough in style? Or are you still going to say you got to go back to pharmacy?
Let me say, the Leslie right now still wants to go back to pharmacy. Like, I still have that love for pharmacy. I do. That's why I say right now, because you're right. Like, you just got me thinking, you know. But right now, yes, it's still that love. Absolutely. And I say that in a sense of, I understand the power of one. And I understand that one question, that one interaction, that one confirmation can literally change the trajectory of someone's life. And I love being a part of that.
Yeah.
That's it. I love being a part of that. And so, you know, even if it's not in the community setting.
Yeah.
Even if it's not that, you know, we talked about earlier, you know, that 4 weeks, 4 hours a week.
Right.
Even if it's just, hey, I'm sending someone your way. They need your help. They are overwhelmed.
Right.
Then I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I think that's that, still want to stay connected.
When you talk about changing someone's life, you know, that's because truly, you know, truly by that interaction, you truly can change their whole life.
Absolutely. Right. And it's not just them. Like, if we understand that one change and how that impacts everyone that they're connected to, everything they're connected to, their family, their friends, their community, their church, like, your one interaction just changes that completely.
What's your fear moving forward?
Ooh.
Or don't you have one?
I do. Actually, I do. I'm just trying to think of how to word it. My biggest fear right now is letting go of what's always been. It's so easy to stay where it's familiar, it's comfortable, it's easy. You don't have to think about it.
Right.
Has challenges, but not necessarily challenging for you, right? You know, there's a difference. I've learned there's a difference to things that challenge you and things that are challenging. So really, that's my fear right now. That's putting it out there, being very transparent, is wanting to see what's on the other side, but fearful of what's on the other side.
Right.
And people can say that, oh, just go and see, it's okay, and you're a pharmacist, and you can, but it's when you're used to certain things operating a certain way, it's like, oh, the fear of the unknown, right? So my thing is changing that, silencing that fear, really stepping out on the faith that I have and seeing what happens and being okay with that. You know what I mean? Being okay with that. So that's that get out of my own way, going back to the whole accountability and overthinking things, getting out of my own way and really exercising the faith that I know I have, that I encourage others to use, and really doing it for myself. That's the thing right now.
You hear about people who have really gotten successful, define that however you want to, but they've always gotten successful, usually through failure. And people can talk a lot about, well, failure is great because it teaches you how to blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, one of the reasons failure is great is because you can't go back to that. It's not there. And so you only have one direction to go in. Your other business went bankrupt, or the pharmacy salaries dropped in half, or COVID shut you down, or something like that. So a lot of times you don't move in a certain direction unless that direction, there's nothing there anymore.
It's all about our perspective on it, right? So we can say failure, or we can say the lessons that we learn, and I choose to say a lesson, right? We learn what to do, what not to do. But I think too, for me, going back to being fearful, and it hit me when you said it, the one of the biggest fears I have is being where I am a year from now. Wondering what could have been. That's fear. Okay. That's the, you know, I said earlier, you couldn't have told me last April, one, we would be having this conversation, obviously, but two, that I will be telling you that I, you know, launched a styling company and have had clients in this building. I couldn't have, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that. But the fear now, the fear of, man, what if I hadn't done X, Y, and Z? What could have happened? And this year's gonna go by anyway. I always tell people that, and I tell that with students. The time's gonna go by anyway. So what you choose to do with it is on you, right? You can either just stay comfortable, go with the flow, or you can take that risk. You can take that risk on yourself. You can invest in yourself. Take, you know, bet on yourself, whatever word you want to use, but it's that fear of not doing that and coming back next April, and you're like, so Leslie, how's the year been? I'm like, oh, same old, still blah, blah, blah. And having pursued not one thing that I know or have the desire to pursue or could pursue or have been working on from fear of what if it doesn't happen the way I want it to, or what if it doesn't succeed? Like, that's the fear.
That's where the coach comes in.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's really, if we think about it, the coach is only, and I'm not saying this to be dismissive, but the coach is only helping magnify what's already inside of you, right? She's not coming in and saying, oh, you want this? Let me give you this. Here you go. No, she's helping you peel back those layers to what's already hidden, whether you hit it yourself or it just hasn't bloomed yet, but she's helping pull back those layers of what you're already capable of doing.
Right.
And so with that, that's how you can get from behind yourself and your thoughts and the what ifs, because the what ifs will drive you crazy, right? The what ifs will literally drive you crazy and will keep you stagnant and keep you at the same place you were 6 months ago, nine months ago, a year ago.
Yeah, almost. I told this to someone and they disagreed with this delineation of the two terms, but it's almost like there's like a teacher. And I don't mean the teachers that really get involved, but there's a teacher that's teaching something in one direction versus a coach that's kind of pulling it out of you, you know?
Pulling it out. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that guidance. And then still that accountability is huge, because if you say you're going to do something, I don't know about you, and we, you know, there's science behind writing down your goals and writing down things. But if you tell somebody you're going to do something, it makes it a little bit more difficult to not do it, because you've already put it out there. Like, you told me you were going to write that book, Mike. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I did? Oh, I did. Darn it. I told Leslie I was going to write that book. I have to do it. Right. And so it's still what you want to do, but it's that extra push of you're holding me accountable. Like, Mike, when is the book launch? When is the book release? It's that reminder of that thing that's already brewing inside of you.
Where are we a year from now?
Okay. Well, you're going to put it out there. I have to put it out there. So a year from now, I will be telling you that I only work retail 16 hours a month, and that Scripps and Beyond is still booming, still speaking, still getting clients, still changing lives one person at a time. And I will tell you that Elle Renee has her accessory line and it's launched. And it's selling well.
In a year.
In a year.
Good for you.
Yes. That's what I will tell you.
Are you going to have anything for old fat guys?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm asking for a friend.
Asking for a friend.
Come on.
What? We can get some things going. We'll get some things, some accessories.
All right. I want at least one. Leslie, pleasure talking to you.
It was great. Thank you.
I can see that passion as you talk about it, and it'll be right there where you expect it to be.
I appreciate that. I receive that. Thank you, Mike.
All right, Leslie, we'll talk again.
Looking forward to it.
You've been listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Please subscribe for all future episodes.